Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode number 620, I believe, which is 200 more than 420, which means it's really, really strong. Since I'm speaking when Brian usually is, that's probably a pretty clear indication that Brian is out again this week and unable to join us. I have an awesome guest with me today. Much like last week, I had Patrice Brindamore, and today I have Dave Ginsberg from In Touch with iOS. Dave, thank you for being here and joining us.
Oh, thanks. I'm very honored to be here, Jeff. Great to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's a great show to talk about some stuff this week.
Yes. And I said, it's great that you're here with us, as if Brian was sitting here beside me or something.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyhow, everyone, we have a sponsor this week. It is Factor. And I will tell you more about that soon. Also, there's the part where I normally say, hey, you can check us out at our home on contextmachine.io. Yep, that's still a thing. Also on Facebook and Mastodon and what's the one that Brian loves? Post. That's the one Brian loves. Post. Yep. He's our post guy. Before the show, Dave and I were talking about, hey, what should we talk about? And then Dave comes up with the brilliant idea of let's go through the laundry list of everything that Apple Sherlocked during their Worldwide Developer Conference keynote, which would have been a week and a half ago-ish now.
Yep.
So, yes, I love this plan. And you even, Dave, you're the best. You did research, which actually, now to think about it, why did you do research? You're going to make Brian and me look bad.
No, that'll never happen. You guys do just fine.
We've gotten through what years of this show without doing research. Why should we start now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, you found an article at TechCrunch that listed a bunch of the Sherlocked things. I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes for everyone. Let's start taking a look at this list. Also, for those of you that don't know what Sherlocking is, it's a term that was coined many years ago when Apple created the whole Sherlock system-wide search system. And it came after another company, and I just forgot the company's name, had a product out called Watson, which was a system-wide search thing, and it was amazing. And then Apple rolls out Sherlock, which was basically Watson. Wow, that was actually kind of ballsy when you think about it. They could have come up with any name, but no.
Yeah.
Sherlock and Watson. Wow.
Sherlock and Watson. Yeah. Well, you know, they kind of fit, don't they?
Yeah, kind of. Yep. So anyhow, Corellia Software. That was the company.
That's it.
Their product was at that point basically worthless because the functionality of Watson was built in to Sherlock in macOS.
Yep.
And now you know the history of Sherlocking. Looking at this list, we start off with a journaling app, and so that's going to be, is it across all the devices or is that just an iOS thing?
I thought it was iOS and then probably iPadOS too, I would bet.
That would make sense. But yeah. Staying true to form, I could have looked that up, but
could have.
But no. right. So journaling, it's an app that does what it says, and other app developers will be able to hook into it through some APIs. I am looking forward to seeing how that plays out and what sort of functionality we really get out of that. And if it becomes something that that people really use, or if it's another one of those features that sounds kind of good but doesn't really get adoption. But the apps that we're looking at that are supposedly Sherlocked, Day One, Obsidian, and probably a few others.
I've used Day One. I actually just launched it. I hadn't launched it in a long time. I have a lifetime subscription to it. So it's going to be interesting to see what Apple does that Day One does as well. And I would imagine that Day One is probably going to be, is already looking at this and saying, well, you know, what we could do to improve this and what could we do to make changes? I just can't imagine. There's a lot of Day One subscribers out there. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised to see if this just kind of disappears just because it got Sherlocked. I mean, there's plenty of other apps that are out there, you know, that were like Camo Studio is another good example. We thought for sure that they were going to get Sherlocked because of Continuity Camera, but no, they've just done things like Gangbusters, done some great improvements. You know, I'm using it right now, and I absolutely love it. I have a lifetime subscription to them as well, and so. I can't imagine that Day One isn't already on the drawing board here, trying to make some, make some changes and look to do things better and try to one up Apple. Maybe, you know, you don't know, and it all varies. We've seen apps disappear because of it, and others that have just kind of flourished.
Mm-hmm. This is something I've said before. Just because Apple comes out with an app or feature that has functionality that a third party has created, it doesn't necessarily mean that the third party product is going to go away. One of my favorite examples is 1Password. When Apple did the whole keychain thing, there were people saying, why would anyone need to have 1Password anymore? And the answer is, well, because Apple creates products where they give you this functionality, and then it becomes an opportunity to do more for the people that need more. That's where the third-party developers come in. Right. And if you need basic password management, it's built into the operating system, which is great. If you need to have serious password management, that's where tools like 1Password come in. And absolutely, I have a feeling it'll be the same with Day One.
Yeah, Day One. Yeah, I like I said, I haven't seen a lot of press after this was announced that they really haven't seen anything. I really hadn't paid much attention. In fact, I hadn't. Like I said, I just opened it up. I saw, oh my God, that was like a trip I went on like 3-4 years ago. I was journaling in Day One. So yeah, I just... It'll definitely be interesting. I always find this interesting to see how applications evolve over, you know, a big company like Apple making these kinds of changes and adding new apps. You know, some have just flourished, some have kind of just gave up. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. I think the other app was also mentioned, it was Obsidian. I know our friend Mike Schmitz is a big user of that. I'm not too terribly familiar with it, but you know, it does a lot of journaling and helps with your thinking and your knowledge. And this has got a great community too. So both of these apps, I just can't see it. I just can't. In this case, you know, Apple's new to this game in the journaling world. I just don't see it happening, at least not right away. If it even happens, you know.
Yeah, until I actually get to see the journaling app in action, I'm feeling exactly like Day One and Obsidian, they're okay, because they serve a market that goes beyond what functionality Apple is offering. But what if Apple the APIs that Apple is offering to developers so they can hook into the journaling app, let them create something where it becomes like the this really good cross device data nexus. I could see that taking over.
Definitely a possibility, but again, like you said, we got to see what the journaling is all about. It isn't going to come out until later this year. So this wasn't available in the initial betas that were just released a week ago. So we got a long ways to go before we even see it. So, I mean, just like Apple Vision Pro, we've talked about tons of times. You talked about last week. It's the same thing. It's something that's brand new. Apple isn't ready to bring it out to prime time use just yet. So in this case, I think it's going to be that we got to get it in our hands. I want to try it. You know, Freeform was another one that wasn't out right away, and they released it, and then you and I did some testing before it actually came out, and Freeform was has done really well, and it's improved even more. You know, with the real time collaboration on drawings and such. So, but there's other apps out there too. These app developers got to stay focused on this, because you want to keep Apple on their toes. You don't want them to be the dominant force of every platform that's out there. So there's plenty of apps that Apple does that there's a lot of other apps doing much better.
Yep, I agree. So, Freeform, do you really use it?
I haven't used it much. I think you and I just played with it when we were during beta testing in iOS and iPad OS 16. I really haven't done much with it since, to be honest. So I just don't know how popular it really is. Apple always talks it up, but I don't know if it's been of any big interest with all the other dominant force types of programs, Adobe and many others that are out there that do that too.
Well, what Apple has done, I think, seems a lot more elegant and a lot more usable than what Adobe has done.
I don't even get started on Adobe. I think Adobe has its dominant force in its community with designers, and everybody loves Adobe. Everybody wants to use their products, but everybody's also paying a premium for it too. A Creative Cloud subscription takes a big dent out of your pocketbook. I mean, a lot of companies who are design-based companies, obviously, that's nothing to them. But yeah, your single user person who wants to be a freelance designer, let's say, it hits their budget hard when you've got to pay anywhere probably $800 or more a year for Creative Cloud. You can have other tools that are out there. Mm-hmm.
All right. So while you're talking, I mean, okay, I put this on you, Dave, because you brought up Freeform.
Okay.
I'm going to toss an idea out, and my guess is that right now, somewhere out there, Kelly Gumont's ears are ringing a little bit because we all know that she has a home for crackpot theories, and
you do too. But
no, I create crackpot theories that go and live in her home. Mm. So here's my new one. What if Apple released Freeform last year with iOS 16 so that people could start getting familiar with it? Because where they really want this app to be used is on Vision Pro.
I didn't even think of that. That could be something really interesting. You're going like this, which you're pinching your fingers and moving things around, and you might have a pencil, and you might be able to do a lot of this drawing with the Vision Pro, because this is something new. I like that theory.
I kind of like much it
possibility.
Too.
I mean, I'd be interested because if we go into Vision Pro a little bit, just with apps, you're not going to our third party apps going to be jumping in on this. That's the thing. You know, somebody like Adobe, are they going to have Illustrator or any of those types of apps? Are those going to be available in a Vision Pro OS type environment? They're looking at it.
I would assume they're looking at it. I mean, the whole thing with the way Vision Pro is designed and being positioned, this just feels like a platform that's begging for creative and design tools and collaborative tools. So I can't imagine that Adobe isn't looking at this. And if not, I bet it's a pretty safe bet that Affinity is looking at this.
For sure.
Yeah, Affinity, that's the company that makes the really nice... I'm making a note to myself because I need to make sure that I do show notes. Okay, so Affinity, that's the company that makes, I don't want to call them Creative Cloud clone apps, but they're compatible apps. And I switched over to Affinity Photo, Affinity Design, and Affinity mm-hmm. Publisher years ago and have not really missed having the Creative Cloud apps. But I could see a company like Affinity looking at this and figuring out how they can really take advantage of a Vision Pro with their creative design apps.
Oh, yeah. There's any number of possibilities that could happen. I mean, you have so many of these. I don't know. I agree with you. I hate using the word clone type apps. Even on the photo side, you have like what was it? It was a Pixelmator. Now it's Photomator. There's another one that are trying to get at in that market with photo editing too. So I mean, I just can't imagine that these companies are still not looking at this and saying, hey. We can keep going, and we don't care what Apple's doing. We're just going to make sure that we have a great, good quality product and a really dominant community. The community is the most important thing, I think, with any of these apps that we're talking about. If there isn't a community out there that's using it and you know, talking about it and talking it up and all that, then you know, it's tough to get the word out there about these apps.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's all right. I'm going to stop us for a minute because I want to talk about our sponsor, which is Factor. And here's the deal. Factor, they make ready-to-eat meal kits. They deliver them right to your door. You get to pick from the menu. So you can get whatever meals you want every week. And so here's the deal. I don't think it's any secret. Everyone knows that I'm in the process of moving, and I'm actually down into my crunch week for getting as much out of the way as I can before the movers show up to get my furniture into my new place. And holy crap, when can you find time to go to the grocery store and buy lots of groceries and then prepare meals and... And in my place, that also means hand washing dishes because the kitchen is basically a closet and there's no room for a dishwasher. Anyhow, it all adds up. And having to deal with all of that is just crazy. So Factor to the rescue because I can have my meals delivered right to my door and I pop everything in the fridge. And when it's time to eat, I can just make some food. The meal, it's just done, ready for me. And I love that that while it comes with microwave directions, so you can do it really fast, it also comes with oven directions. So if you'd prefer to use an oven instead of a microwave, you can do that. And you don't even have to take the food out of the container that you're cooking in. If it's in a microwave, it works in the oven as well. So I just think that's super, super cool. I also love that they have meals that that cater to different dietary needs or restrictions. So like if you're into keto, they've got that. They have vegan meals, and I have a dairy allergy. I can eat meat, not beef, can't digest it, but... So anyhow, I can eat a lot of different things, and it's so easy for me to go through their menu list and pick out things that I can eat. And that makes a huge difference because I don't want to risk doing something that makes me sick or puts me in the hospital just because I don't have time or space right now to cook a proper meal. So Hooray for Factor. All right, so here's the deal, everyone. What you need to do is head to factormeals.com/TCM50 and use the code TCM50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code TCM50 at factormeals.com/TCM50, factormeals.com/TCM50 to get 50% off your first box. And thank you to Factor for being our sponsor this week.
I love Factor. I've been eating their meals for the last 6 months. They're awesome. So go out there and get them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So, Dave, it's almost like Brian is here because we had this whole list of things, all these Sherlock apps, and we've managed to get through one. before we talked about Factor. Anyhow, so let's keep going and see how many more we can get before we run out of time. My guess is not many because we've already set a precedent here. All right. How about Mm-hmm and Loom getting Sherlocked?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the presenter overlay feature that Apple is adding in.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to say. Is it going to really Sherlock those types of apps? These are kind of specialty type apps, I think. This is more of a feature than an actual app, I think. Am I wrong in that?
No, I think that's a fair assessment because this is something that Apple is offering at the system level. So a wide range of apps can take advantage of presenter overlay. Whereas if you're using Loom or these are seriously these are tools that you use specifically to do like screen recording and capture part of your screen. And they're designed to make it easier for you to put together informational and instructional videos.
That's true. But oh my gosh, that market is so heavily filled as it is anyway. There's so many other, other apps that are similar to what this does. And putting in that kind of stuff. So it's definitely, the article picked just these specific apps. I mean, is there any others that could really be doing, you have a application like Camtasia or Snagit or some of those that are even more advanced in what these do, that could create these overlays.
ScreenFlow.
ScreenFlow is another one. I'm a license holder for that too.
Same.
So there's so many other, I have not used either one of these or Loom, so I can't really say to much on them. I think this is just an added feature is more than really, could you really classify this as a Sherlocking type potential, really?
You know, I'm going to draw a very clear line in the sand with this one and say, nope. Presenter overlay does not Sherlock these applications. Having used Loom, having played with I do not see Preventer Overlay as a Sherlocking threat to these apps or any of the others that fall in this category. Sure, this is a convenient thing and an easy thing, but this is not something that I feel really competes with products like Loom.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think much else we could say about that one. Name drops, another one I thought I'd like to hope we would hit on is, I was glad to kind of see Apple did this because this was always a challenge. Every time you had to send somebody's business card to somebody, hey, can you just text that to me and here's my phone number and then here's my information. And now Apple has added this name drop feature where you can just put your two phones together and it automatically sends it and you can get a nice card and overlay and set it up really nice. And I was glad to see that. I've tried Bump. I don't know if you, that's the Sherlock app that they're talking about here.
I don't think it's fair to call Bump a Sherlock app because I don't think it's been around for years. But yes. Oh. When Bump was out, what, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It was great. And I used it. And now I use, and to be clear, this is not an endorsement, but it's the thing that's working for me. I'm using .card.
Okay.
And so for those that don't know, .card is one of those services where you set up your digital business card. So all the contact information, whatever else you want in there. And then your card, it's like, looks like a business card or a credit card. It has an NFC chip in it. So when someone taps their phone onto your card, then it lets them download your contact information.
Yeah. Now, I'm getting a little confused here. I just searched a Bump, and were there separate apps besides this one? I'm finding it says it was discontinued. This is a different icon, so maybe I'm wrong with this one.
I thought Bump was discontinued several years ago.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Because that's what's in their Wikipedia article on it, saying it was like about 10 years ago. So.
Okay, there you go. So you're definitely not Sherlocking something if it's not around to be Sherlocked.
So.
But
that's
still,
interesting to see if that's the one. I don't know. But the icon looks different. So it was Bump Technologies is the, I mean, it's looking like it, the pictures.
Yeah.
So make sure.
Well,
it looks like it's got the hands with the two phones. So maybe it is it.
All right. So I saw this was at some event long ago. It would have been like right after Bump came out, and a bunch of people were talking about it at this event, and a couple of people had it on their phones, and so. One person is explaining to the other person how it works. And like, yeah, you know, just kind of hold your phone up like this. And then we'll just bump our hands together. And then my contact information will go to you and yours will go to me. And so the other person's like, okay. And they swing their hand forward like really hard. And I guess they were thinking maybe that they had to have a lot of force behind the motion so that the bits would be able to fly through the air into the other phone or something. Mm-hmm. But they hit the other person's hand so hard that it knocked their phone out of their hand and it flew across the room.
Hmm. Yeah.
And
no, that's
yeah.
That's interesting.
So anyhow, after that, I was very careful about mentioning that I had Bump, or who I mentioned. Wow, words hard. I was very careful about who I let know that I had Bump on my phone so that I wouldn't risk having someone that was a little overzealous break my phone.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Go ahead.
No, this is another thing I thought about too is... the latest tech that Apple did announce for iOS 17, inspired by things like answer machines, alarm clocks, business cards, all three of those things. We just talked about the business cards, but think about the stand that they showed and you being able to put your iPhone horizontal and it just it's a clock and it actually gives you that information right at your nightstand. And so they've changed that. They changed also the way an answer machine used to work. I remember we all have had the answer machines with the big cassette tape and
God!
Yeah, right? I mean, Recorder Call I think was one of the brands I remember. It stands out in my mind. And you know, they did the same thing with coming up with the being able to screen your calls when someone's leaving a voicemail and you can answer it if you'd like to or not. So I don't know if that's necessarily Sherlocking, but it's more, I think, of looking at features of products that were out. Like I said, answering machines, and alarm clocks. Those we all had those, and go ahead and try to find one of those two devices these days.
Yeah, not in my place.
Less on eBay or something. So I kind of spinning that. That doesn't necessarily mean that they Sherlocked anything, but they're kind of bringing back the features that we've never had on an iPhone for all these years of being able to do those kind of things. So I thought it was great to see that Apple did that.
Yeah, so that's cool. It's the opposite of Sherlocking. It's I don't know. It's Lazarusing.
Maybe.
I don't know. Okay, another one of these features. So the TechCrunch article calls out stickers, saying that it's Sherlocking Sticker Drop and Stickerly. And I don't think I'm the right target market for this because.
Nor am I.
Because I don't use Stickerly or Sticker Drop. However, I do get that there are a lot of people that that really love both. So I don't know. Is this really going to? Is it going to make that big of a difference having this built in versus? Apps that you're downloading, at least for the market that this is targeting.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I mean, I think if anything this is going to do is it's going to make people use stickers even more of what Apple already had, and it's giving it even more enhancements of what they added with this. So hard to say what these two these are all indie app makers that they're both those two, what they'll do. Maybe again, that just like I've talked about other apps, you know, they got to get to take advantage of improving what you already do. Then, you know, one up to see what Apple does, and maybe something you guys can come up with something else.
Yeah, my guess is that they will find ways to make their products stay relevant, and. It just occurred to me, one of the things that made these apps really appealing was that because you can turn your own photos into stickers, which means you have to be able to do the masking and alpha channel stuff that Apple added in to photos in iOS 16, that does make it easier to do more of what Sticker Drop and Stickerly offer. Just directly in the operating system. I don't know.
Yeah. I think this one's kind of,
All right. Well, how about the web app feature?
This is cool.
Yeah. And so the Sherlocked app in this case is Unite, and there's a couple others out there like Unite. Right. What Unite does is let you take a web page, and instead of doing the thing that Apple previously offered, where you can take a web page and just make it an icon on your home screen, and when you tap it, it opens the web page. This actually puts a whole sort of like wrapper around the web page, so it appears and functions as if it were an app as opposed to just a web page. And now that's built into iOS.
Yep. No, that is, I think, a great thing. I like to have those. I did play around with it. I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah, it was Unite because Unite's on ZApp. I did use that. Mm-hmm. This is something that's really cool if you want to be able to. I mean, I would store websites like Mac Rumors or 9to5 Mac, because those are always those two sites I would go to all the time. Because doing the podcast here, I always want to do that. I would have it as a set app that you just install. It never worked super the greatest, I found. But I'm going to be interesting to see. In fact, I think that this is already in Mac OS Sonoma's beta 1. I need to take a look at that, and it's also mentioning that it's going to probably take up less memory. That was always the big problem than the Electron apps do. So I haven't. I just installed it on one of my Mac Mini beta machines. I want to check this out, but this is I think this is cool because there's plenty of websites we go out there on a daily basis, like the ones I mentioned. I do that this makes life easy. And yeah, you're going to see what Unite does. You know?
As someone, oh my God, Dave, I just realized that when I was describing Unite, that I said you can put the icon on your home screen. There's no home screen on the Mac. All of the operating systems are bleeding together for me.
Yep.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyhow, okay. This is one where I feel like saying it's being Sherlocked is appropriate. Yeah. Because what Unite does, it's a one trick pony, and it puts that app wrapper thing around the web page, and that's exactly what the web app feature does. So mm-hmm. Yeah, this where I see Unite being useful after Sonoma comes out for people that can't or don't want to upgrade to Sonoma, they still have this feature available to them, which means that over time, Unite's potential user base will be diminishing.
True. Yeah, true. And there are a number of others that are out there. Coherence is another one that I've tried.
Yep. I've used Coherence too.
That does it. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting what Apple does, but now they're able to code this within macOS Sonoma. Is this something that's going to, I'm kind of excited. I want to go jump on my machine now and check it because I had
awesome.
Completely forgot about this, but I think, yeah, you're right. I think that these could definitely become Sherlocked in this case. If they aren't, unless they come up with something that's going to be more robust than what Apple's going to come up with when it's OS level integration, that's tough to beat.
Yep. All right. So for all the apps and services we've talked about so far, this is the one where I'm feeling like, yep, this product is in trouble. So maybe they'll come up with some really cool thing that they can do that enhances their product. But not with what it is today.
Nope. Don't think so.
All right.
This will be interesting.
Yep. And holy crap, Dave, I think you are rubbing off on me because we have been so efficient going through stuff today, which is a hallmark of In Touch with iOS. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So yeah, we need to wrap up. Dave, yeah. Thank you. Where can people find you?
Thanks. Thanks again for having me. This was great. You can find me at In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. You see me, I'm with Jeff at least twice a week, every week on the Mac show on the British Tech Network, as well as on Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner and that crew on Tuesday nights. And I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 on mastodon.cloud. And you can find me pretty much anywhere on the socials. Thanks again, Jeff. This was awesome.
Oh, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad that the timing worked out. I actually had to catch myself. I almost said, I'm so glad Brian's out this week. So that you can be here. Brian, I love you. And anyhow, Dave, I love you too, because you're just awesome. So thank you for being here and joining me. And, for everyone that's waiting to see if I can not screw up the ending this week, well, here we go. Well, and that's this week's show. Everyone, thank you for joining us. And thank you to Factor for being our sponsor this week. Head over to factormeals.com/TCM50. And use the discount code TCM50 to get 50% off your first box. Thank you, Factor, for being our sponsor this week. So Brian's not here to defend himself. I mean, to tell you where to find him. So he's Geek Tells on the socials. I'm Jay Gamut on the socials. Brian pretends that he's active on Post. I actually am active on Mastodon. And yeah, so we have the webpage, we have the Facebook page that Brian loves to lament that it exists. Anyhow, so with that, hey, our hosting is provided by Cashfly. Our bass is by Dr. Boom. It's recorded just for us. And everyone, have a great week, and we'll see you next week. I'm sure I missed something.